Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is On Point. I'm NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik. You're listening to our journalist roundtable on the week in the news, but for a moment, joining me now on Folkenflik Friday from Helena, Montana, is Montana Governor Steve Bullock. He's a candidate in the Democratic primary for president. He just entered the fray last month. Governor Bullock, thank you so much for taking a few minutes to chat with us today.
Hello, David. Great to be with you, for sure.
So I know you're geared up to talk slightly about the question of getting on the debate stage. We'll talk about that in a moment. But I want to sketch out for you briefly for our listeners a little bit more about Steve Bullock. Tell us what the first 100 days of the Bullock administration might look like.
Well, I think the first, on day one, I'd sign an executive order that gets the corrupting dollars and out of our elections. I mean, at least add sunshine. There's been $1 billion spent since Citizens United of money that we don't even know where that's coming from. And if we don't address sort of the corrosive influence of money in politics, which has really been the fight of my entire career, we're not going to address all the other big issues that we need to. I'd also work, you know, I'd get back into Paris day one as well. We have to take a global leadership role on climate change, and I think that we could do that. There's going to be a lot of work to be done around the world when you actually address sort of, you know, the Trump reflex has been to sort of treat our allies as adversaries and our adversaries as allies. So I think that there's going to be a lot of work to be done there as well. So a number of steps that I think you could take from the beginning, and there's going to be a lot of great work to get done.
Why Steve Bullock? Why are you the guy to that people should commit their support and their time to?
Yeah, you know, certainly run in to defeat Donald Trump, but also make sure that the economy works for everyone. I'm the only one in the field who won in a Trump state. In 2016, he took Montana by 20 points. I won by 4. And in order to win in 2020, we've got to both bring out our core Democratic Party, but we've got to win back places that voted for him. And I know it's possible. I've done it before. Also have, in a very divisive time, passed significant progressive legislation through a majority a Republican legislature. And I think if we can't bridge some of those divides and make people understand and believe the government can actually work and give them a fair shot, a lot of this is going to be a, you know, a good futile exercise.
Governor, a number of people have looked at you and said, this guy is right. He can win in Trump country, and he shows sort of a ability to appeal to centrists as well as progressives. They also look at people like Beto O'Rourke and Stacey Abrams and said, why aren't these great candidates running for Senate? You know, a Democratic president would never be able to do much if he or she can't have folks in the Senate to back him or her up.
Sure, and I can't speak for the others, but for myself, I know that we're going to have some great candidates, Montana Democratic candidates, to compete in the Senate in 2020. For me, this was never really an either-or proposition. Mm-hmm. You know, in my whole career, I've spent on an executive side, that's both as Attorney General when we led all of the state's fight against Citizens United to my time as governor. So this is where I think that my skills are best. Certainly confident we'll have somebody in Montana, and I'll do everything that I can to make sure that he or she wins in 2020.
I want to very quickly do a lightning round and just get a sentence or two on each of the following things, because I think they're important to kind of at least indicate to people where you stand on some issues that have really cropped up in this primary race for president. Tell me where you stand, for example, on immigration and on how to deal with the question of a flow of people coming to this country without documentation or legal status.
Yeah, you know, I think Democrats believe in border security, keeping families safe, but also not using immigration to divide our country. This is a humanitarian crisis. You don't end up taking an 18th century solution called a wall to a 21st century problem. And we've got to figure out a way both for Dreamers to make sure that they have a path, and the other 8 million U.S. are people living without documentation in this country. You know, I mean, 2/3 of them have been here for over 10 years. So let's actually use it to continue to build our economy, not divide people.
All right. Very quickly, abortion, Democratic governor in North Carolina vetoed a bill that would make it much more restrictive and prosecute, I believe, doctors for doing abortions. In Wisconsin, similarly, a Democratic governor says he'll veto it. In Louisiana, Democratic governor signed legislation that would make things much more restrictive in that state. Where would you be on this issue that's percolating up in the federal courts towards the Supreme Court?
Yeah, and every time when a bill has been brought to my desk, I mean, I believe a woman should make these health care decisions in consultation with a doctor, family, and faith, if she so chooses. So I've blocked every effort to restrict that right.
Okay. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about the debate before I let you go. As you so far have not qualified for the Democratic National Committee-sanctioned debate happening middle of next week, I believe Wednesday, the rules basically say you have to have either break 1% in three national polls by different outfits or get 65,000 individual contributions. You're saying that's not right. How come?
Well, and until yesterday, there were three national qualified debates that everybody was saying counts, and then they announced they weren't going to count one of them. But look, I only got in about a month ago, and if I could have gotten in earlier, but my legislature was still moving. I had to get Medicaid expansion passed to ensure health coverage for nearly 100,000 people. And if I ever had to choose again between campaigning for 100,000 donors and securing health care for 100,000 people, it's the easiest decision I'll ever make.
Mm-hmm. Don't there have to be some rules by which this decided? I mean, I remember President Trump was on board for, I guess, in debates that took 10 people. They sort of knocked seven of them out to a secondary debate. But doesn't there have to be some way to sort when there's such a large field?
Well, I think, you know, at the end of the day, it's the voters that make that decision. It shouldn't be party rules. And I'm going to keep going out and doing just like this weekend. I'll go start a rural swing through Iowa, actually talking to voters, because it's voters that make these decisions. It's not the party.
You've been hearing the voice there of Montana Governor Steve Bullock. He's a candidate seeking the Democratic nomination for the presidency. Governor, thanks for joining Full Conflict Friday, and thank you so much for your time.
David, it's great to be with you.